Blackfin Web.
You are listening to 91.5 FM WMIE.
Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, Does God Determine Our Course in Life?
God's grace, His mercy, His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. All right, today let's take a look at, do we chart our own courses through this life, or does God? Do we choose our own path through this world and this life, or is it really the Almighty working out His will for you? Do we determine our destinies, or is it really God determining your destiny, causing you to walk in the way that He has for you according to His great eternal purposes? Let's take a look at this today about charting our courses. How much of us choosing our way through life is us choosing our way through life? How much of it is God choosing your way through life? And if we acknowledge Him in all of our ways, will God indeed, the Lord, make your paths straight and sure? Let's talk about that today and see what God would teach us by His holy word, the scriptures, for our encouragement in Christ. The charting of our course. Who's really in the driver's seat? You or God? So what can we say? First thing we can definitely say, I think we'll all agree, that we do make choices in this life. Amen? We deliberate, we calibrate, we consider, we determine, we choose where we want to go, what we want to do, and such things. That is man's part. We do make choices in this life. You can choose, for example, I want to be a doctor, right? Gianna wants to be a doctor, hopefully, I think, I hear. Dr. Day. We also can choose, you know, I want to be a sailor, or I want to be in the Navy. I want to be a restaurant owner, or I want to live in Wyoming or Connecticut or whatever. So we can make choices. We also make choices, to be sure, between right and wrong. I want to go in this path because that's the right way, or you can choose, I want to go in this way, which is really the crooked path. A lot of people choose the crooked. And therefore we see in the Bible, God is constantly calling people to choose, to make right choices about good paths to go on, especially with respect to right and wrong, right? Look over here at Jeremiah, for example. Chapter 6, God says, Thus says the Lord, Stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. But they said, We will not walk in it. In other words, we're going to choose crooked paths. We see that again in Jeremiah 18. God says, My people have forgotten me. They've stumbled in their ways in the ancient roads and have gone into bypaths, not the highway. So people can choose the wrong way to go in life, or you can choose the right way to go in life. Of course, God is at work in those things, but people do make choices in these things. And we know in Proverbs 4, I love this verse, you know I love this verse. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day, but the way of the wicked is deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. So, do you make choices in life? Do you chart your own course? Yeah, in a certain sense, we do. But I want to ask, though, based on that, once we make our choices in life, do we get to then determine our destiny and outcome based upon those choices? For example, let's consider wicked people. For example, let's say someone says, I choose to sin. I choose to lie, cheat, steal, and claw my way to the top in my business field. I will rule over my other people here. using crooked paths. And I will not only choose that way, but I will guarantee and see to it that in a very short amount of time, I will own all the money, buy my own island, have a pretty young woman to live on it with, and have fun in the sun for the rest of my life. I can sin and be happy. It is my destiny. Does that make sense? Is that the way it's going to work? You can make your choices in life, but do you have then the power to make sure that your destiny of what you're planning based on those choices will come to pass or not? Well, man has his choices to make. That's his part. God has his part too. He chooses what will happen to you based upon those choices on account of his righteous judgments of the person and his choices. So people can choose crooked paths, for example, but that doesn't mean it's going to go well with them as they so dream and plan. God says this in Leviticus 26, just as one of a million examples in the Bible. God says, if you walk in my statutes and observe my commandments and do them, you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall by the sword. Five of you shall chase 100, 100 of you shall chase 1,000, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. So they make a choice. God will determine the outcome. Here we see also, if you will not hearken to me and will not do all these commandments, I'll set my face against you. You shall be smitten before your enemies. Those who hate you shall rule over you, and you shall flee when no one pursues you. So, yeah, you make choices, but do you get to then choose and chart the entire course of your life and determine your destiny? Or is that God's hand at work? It's God's hand at work in these things. Consider, for example, the Old Testament story of Esther. Remember that story? In the days of the Persian Medo-Persian Empire, we had a wicked guy there. Remember Haman? He was the right-hand man to the king. And he just hated Mordecai, who stood at the king's gate, wanted to kill him. And kill all the Jews with him, since Mordecai was a Jew. So he has a lot of power. He can make choices in his life, and he chooses, I'm going to hatch a plot that will destroy Mordecai and kill all the Jews. So that was his choice. That's man's part. Did he have the ability then to destine himself to make it all work out as he had planned? Or was that now God stepping into his parts? Because we realize what happens to Haman based on his crooked choices. God destined him to be hanged upon the gallows that he had wickedly prepared for Mordecai. And so Haman received his comeuppance from the Lord, and the Jews were saved, and Mordecai got Haman's old job. So we can make choices, right? That's our part. God has his part. He makes choices and destines what will happen next on account of those choices. And so here we see an amazing, really divine mystery, wouldn't you say? An interplay between, yeah, you do chart your course and you do make decisions, but God has his choosings too, and his determinations, and they're both at work at the same time. And yet they both go together. And guess who wins, by the way? God wins because he's powerful. So if you were wicked and choose an evil way and think, it'll go great, I guarantee it. God says, what you plan and dream shall not come to pass. I destine you to the sword. So there is an interplay between these two. Man choosing his way, and God choosing his way. Let's talk, though, about the righteous. What about you? Christians, how does it work for us? Well, you know as well as I that we were all one time wicked like the rest of the world. Our ways were crooked. They went into devious, dark, and slippery paths. The whole world, sinners. What did God do? God destined, chose his son to come and be the savior of the world, your savior. Jenny, Ian, Art, Greg, Corrine, to save you from your sins through him who is called the straight and the narrow, the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ. Amen. He came and he died for you. He rose for you. He atoned for your sins, redeemed you to set you free, sent preachers, and you believing on him
by his grace at work in you, has brought you to life, forgiven you your sins, saved you, made you born again, and has now set you on the right path again, the straight and narrow. As Jesus says, strive to enter by the narrow gate. And I am the way, and I am the good shepherd, and you, my sheep, follow me now. So we're actually on the good way now, right? We were wicked. God has set us free. He has saved us. So he's the shepherd, you're the sheep. He's leading, you are following. Who's charting your course? Well, let's consider who really charts your course. Do you make choices in life as a Christian? Do you decide where to go? Gonna go to Alaska or take a trip here or there or whatever? You do make choices. We chart our course in that sense, but who is at work to destine you, what's going to happen and where you're going to go actually in it? And is he even causing you to make your choices that you're making? Because consider David. Let's look at the Old Testament, that great story. David, when Samuel came and anointed him, God told him to do that. David was a young man, could say a boy, young man. What happened to him? Well, he's just feeding sheep. One day he just happens to decide, because his dad tells him, to go and bring bread to his brothers at the battlefield, the Valley of Elah. He just happens, as he arrives there, to see the champion of the Philistines shouting against the ranks of Israel, Goliath roaring against God's people. David just happens to be stirred in his spirit with this. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David speaks to the men. The men just happen to share the rumors around the camp with the king. King Saul says, I would like an audience. I would like him to come and hear this man, why he is speaking so. David presents his case to the king, why he should fight Goliath and be permitted to go. Saul just happens to give this untrained young warrior leave to go fight. Here, take my armor, he says. David then makes choices about the armor. He weighs the warrant of taking these. He deliberates about them. He assesses and evaluates the armor, and he decides and chooses, no. A sling and a stone should do. I'm used to them. He marches onto the battlefields. Goliath roars against him. David shouts back, runs at him, and strikes him down with a sling and a stone. Let me ask you a question. How much of this was David making choices, and how much of that was God destining it beforehand and causing it to come to pass in the course of time? What do you think? Both were at work at the same time. Amen? David was definitely making choices. He was definitely thinking. He was definitely choosing things and where he wanted to go. But who was driving his destiny? The Lord. It was an entire setup. God inspired him to that day, just to hear at that time, to see the giant, to have the courage and the desire to fight. The rumors just got to the king on account of the Lord. Saul's heart was turned on account of the Lord turning his heart to send an unarmed man into battle, untrained. And David, by the strength of the Lord, strove onto that battlefield, and by the victorious hand of the Lord, won the victory. How about for your lives? Are you choosing your way through life? Is God, by that same Spirit, driving your destiny towards great end and great purposes? Dick, you would know this one. You quoted it in the Bible study this morning. These verses, Jeremiah 10. I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself, that it's not in man who walks to direct his steps. David says in Psalm 37, the steps of a man are from the Lord, and he establishes him in whose way he delights. Proverbs 19. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it's the Lord's purpose that shall be established. The steps of a man, he establishes him in whose way he delights. And Proverbs 16, a man's mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Just the other week, I planned to go to Cape Cod to see my parents. The Lord destined me that I would be here through an injury to my back, but man, it was a great vacation. And we will see our parents soon to come up there in the north, but it was awesome. It was great. Great things were accomplished. And I'll share with them maybe a little more with you later. How about for you, though? Do you have the comfort of this? Do you have the assurance of this? That there is a God who is with you, who knows your ways, and when he's tried you, he's going to bring you forth as gold. He's leading you through your life. Even when it seems twisted and crazy and it's all up to you, it's not. It's really him. Look at Paul, for example. He is fasting in Antioch with the church. Remember that? And the Holy Spirit speaks and says, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul to the work to which I've called them. So, great, the Lord spoke. Where are they going to go? Well, Paul's like, how about Cyprus? All right, they go there. The Holy Spirit says, good. Cyprus is good. Then they chose Perga of Pamphylia, then Antioch of Pisidia, then Iconium. Holy Spirit's like, good, 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 good. Then we read that as they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word of God in Asia. No, not that way. Wow. And then they were passed by Mysia, and they went down to Troas. Oh, sorry. And they came opposite Mysia, and they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. You'd think, hey, we're going to preach the gospel. Of course the Holy Spirit wants us here. No. I want you to go in that direction. Gives them a vision in the middle of the night of a man in Macedonia saying, come over and help us. And they determined in the morning that God, the Holy Spirit, was leading them to preach the word to Macedonia, and they went that way. You know, Paul's making choices, you make choices, I make choices, but who's really in the driver's seat of your life? Isn't this a comforting and exciting word that the Lord is driving you? And here's a great word, the Lord's plans are greater than your plans. Our plans usually is what we would choose for our flesh, what's good for that. God's plans are what is best for our spirit, his glory, and our greater good, and that of others. You know, when I was younger, as you know, maybe you don't know all of it, but I thought, hey, I have my chart of my plans charted out. I'm going to be a captain on a boat in Maine. I'll sail along the beautiful coast. I'll have, you know, my beautiful wife, which I do have. She'll be healthy. Everything will be marvelous. We'll have three sons, and we'll hunt and fish in the winter. And I'll do church work. I love the church. I'll do some missionary work too. That was a good plan for my flesh. Sounded very nice. But the Lord had other plans. As I was sailing, captaining a schooner, it so turned out the next year I was not rehired because I was going to seminary and they wanted someone to go the whole year. That changed my whole direction, that I decided to become a pastor. I went to Gordon Conwell Seminary, then to the ELCA Seminary, from which God, through a course of events driving people's hearts, drove me with a strong hand out of that denomination, happily so, into our denomination in Concordia St. Louis. And when I was about to come here, I had no church. Did you know that? I was 2 weeks before call day. They had not assigned me. There was no church for me. You guys, this church, got your call documents in. And then the Florida Georgia District says, ah, I think I have the man for you. He loves the sea. He'd love this church. And I came, and I've pastored, and you're awesome. And I've even got a boat on the side that was thrown into my hands that I run as a part-time charter sailing on the side, on which boat, at one time, maybe 8 years or so, it just so happened, a certain person happened to come on that boat, and as we're sailing on sunset, they said, oh, your daughter might one day want to go to a Christian college. How about Southeastern? I tucked that away. Years later, she goes to Southeastern because of that passenger on my boat who just happened to be there, at which college she just happened to meet a friend in a similar class who just happened to know a guy in Northern Florida whose name was Jack Kluver, to whom she's now married, and they're beginning a family. Is this all our choices? Is this a random slot machine of the universe? Or is this God, through what we think is our choice, making his determinations and destiny to drive things to where he wants them to be for our greater good, his greater glory? Amen? God's at work in your life is my point. And it's comforting for you. It's exciting for you. What is your part to play? Well, our part to play is Proverbs 3 verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean upon your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. So you can't even as a Christian get off the straight way and go crooked, right? How do you go straight? Seek his face. Pray. Ask him to open the doors you'd have him walk through. He would have you walk through. Close the other ones. Seek his face. Acknowledge him. And God says, I will do it. I will make your paths straight and sure. Because I'm the good shepherd. I am going to lead you, my sheep. And therefore, you can go with confidence. Because my hand is with his people, as we read this morning in the Bible study. The hand of the Lord is with his servants to guard you, to guide you, to keep you, to protect you, to lead you, to help you, to strengthen you and cause you to stand, to uphold you with his almighty, victorious right hand. Because he says, I'm the good shepherd, and you are my sheep, and my name to you is faithful and true. Awesome. Amen? So it sounds nice, Pastor, you say, but guess what? My life ain't straight and sure. It sure seems crooked and confused, byways and highways and exits and all kinds of crazy stuff. God, I'm facing trouble. I'm facing dangers. I'm facing war. I'm facing storms. My body's not working. Things are a mess, you might say. What is up with that? Is that straight and sure? Well, number one, it is possible. Number one, to sin, get off the course, go into crooked paths. If you actually do sin, what should you do? Repent. Because he's faithful and true and just to forgive our sins when we confess them and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you get off the path, just ask him, confess it, he'll put you on the right path again, straight and sure. That's great. But secondly, sometimes we're walking the right path, the straight, not doing anything wrong, straight, but it gets all seemingly crooked. It's like, what's going on? If I were straight, good things should be happening, not all this crazy, horrible stuff, storms and danger and wars and difficulties and troubles. What's going on there, Pastor? Well, listen very carefully. You ready for a secret? We need to understand this. The Lord's straight is not always our straight. Let me say that again. What is straight to the Lord is not necessarily what you would consider straight. And what's straight to you is not necessarily straight to the Lord. His ways are often interwoven what seems to be our crooked paths, a straight path charted for you through it all. Consider Abraham. Everything's going great. I got a miracle child. I got a lot of money. Things are going well. Okay, God says, here's the next part. Kill your son. Does that sound like a straight path to you, Karen? No. Sort of sounded like a great deviation, an exit from the highway. But what do we see in the end? Were God's ways straight? Very straight. He blessed Abraham. He saved Isaac. God great, the greater glory. And we saw the picture of God taking his own son up the same mountain. 2,000 years previous, we saw it in the story of Abraham and Isaac. He knew what he was doing. Does he know what he's doing with you, Ernie? Maggie? Ginny? Does he know what he's doing even when you're facing troubles? And it's not seemingly straight. Is his hand at work still to make straight your paths? We're finishing up the book of Romans in the Wednesday night studies. Paul in the last chapter says, I'm planning on going to Rome and see you guys. What do you think you would choose for that? Oh, here's what I'll do. I picture it like this. Lord, I'm going to sail down to Jerusalem, drop off some money for the saints, hang out with the apostles a few days, sail again some beautiful waters, get to Rome. Is that the way it worked out? Well, God says, I have a slightly different plan than that. Not too much, just a little. When you get to Jerusalem, we're going to have a mob attack you and a riot, and they'll try to tear you into pieces, but I'll have a guy, a centurion, save you out of that. But we're going to put you in chains for a while in a dark cell, and then we're going to have a false trial against you, and then we're going to escape you out to Governor Felix, and then you'll have more chains for a long time, and then we're going to get you on a boat eventually as a prisoner. And on the boat, you're going to have 14 days where you're not going to see the sun because there's howling winds, pelting rain, stark cold, and it's going to be horrible, and you're going to think you're going to die, but then I'm going to bring you through that. You'll swim ashore from the shipwreck into a bedraggled, cold, frosty day, but a serpent will come out and bite you on the hand who's poisonous, but I'll save you from that, and then we'll get to the king, and we'll save the entire island of Malta to Jesus Christ, and then we'll eventually get you to Rome. Now, was that straight? We would deem it not straight. To God, that was as straight as an arrow, because ours is good for the flesh. His saves an entire island, bears witnesses gloriously to kings and princes, and saves people along the way, and gives me something to preach about 2,000 years later. So what's good for us, our bodies we choose, what's good for our souls and God's greater glory, God chooses, and we need to trust him and acknowledge him in our ways. He is and will faithfully make sure and straight your path. And that gives you a great assurance in life, even if you're facing storms today, that God is bringing you into the storm. He's going to be with you in it, and he's going to bring you out of it to his greater glory and your greater good. For we see that in Jesus. His was straight, but it didn't seem so to Peter. Lord, this shall never happen to you. No way, not that direction. But later on, only looking back, he could say, Peter, the Lord's path was straight. Yes, he was destined before the foundation of the world, and he was made manifest at the end of the times for your sake, for your salvation, and for mine. What looked crooked was indeed straight after all, and you will see it looking back. So in conclusion then, make your choices in life. Do your best. Calculate, evaluate, choose your way, chart your course, but trust and acknowledge God that he's the one really directing your paths. His name is Good Shepherd, faithful and true, and he's going to lead you by still waters and green pastures. We love that, but also through a valley of the shadow of death and at times into the presence of your enemies, but all the while being faithful to fulfill his purposes for you, to provide, to protect, to guard, to lift you up for the best good in the end, driving you as a shepherd, driving you on through this great wilderness to your ultimate destiny at journey's end, which is this, Isaiah 33, your eyes will see the king in his beauty. And your eyes will behold a land that stretches afar. For there the Lord in majesty will be for you a place of broad rivers and streams. And there, God says, you shall reign with me forevermore. Praise the Lord. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me, says David. For his steadfast love endures forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called Does God Determine Our Course in Life? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in. And I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul. And God bless you.